FM CHD3 Detroit, KMPS HD3 Seattle, WBMX HD3 Boston,
and on AOL Radio
and Yahoo Launchcast. CBS Radio's The New Sky.
This is Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston and some of the best co-hosts and fascinating topics of consciousness available. Shift Happens with channeler David Watson, Tracy McBurney's incredible energy consciousness, Mikhail Mir's financial consciousness, and nuclear physicist Thomas Campbell with quantum physics and consciousness. It's an incredible mix of the best teachers on consciousness on every show. Call Intuitive Soul and Friends now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky. Believe.
Hey, good afternoon. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. We have Tom Campbell here with us. Tom can be found on the web. Well, he's got a lot of information out there. He wrote a series of books called My Big Toe. So his website is mybigtoe.com, but there's hyphens in between. So it's my-big-toe.com. You can also Google his name. You can actually get the books on Google Books. You can also get them on his website if you actually want a hard copy, which I always love having hard copies. And you can go to YouTube. YouTube has hours and hours and hours of footage and talks and workshops that Tom's done, so you can always get information there. And we started a conversation, I think it was back in December, and then we decided to pursue it last month on relationships. And we're going to continue the conversation because it's a fascinating topic. I think Tom's going to be writing a book on it, and we just happened to be asking the questions at the right time, or the information just happened to be coming at the right time. So welcome back, Tom.
Well, thank you, Chloe. It's my pleasure to be here, as usual.
So, okay. You gave us a lot of information last time, which was great.
Overwhelming, wasn't it?
A lot of information. We didn't have much of an opportunity to ask questions because we wanted to get all the information out to you or to our listeners. So there's a couple of things that first off, and then I know that we have more to explore. So, I mean, one of the things that I thought about while I was listening to you was the aspect about how men are supposed to give. Now, that was what we started back in December, is, you know, the aspect of the relationship. Men are really at their best when they're giving. And as I thought about that, I mean, I thought about the Eastern philosophies, the yin-yang, how in most of the literature and teachings, men are the giving energy and women are supposed to be the receiving energy. And you have some thoughts on that. Completely was not what I was expecting, but now I understand.
Yeah, well, you say that, you know, men grow and reach out and become more and evolve by giving. Well, that's also true of women. Women reach out and, you know, grow and become more by giving as well. It's just that our giving is in different ways because men and women, surprise of all surprises, are not just the same. You know, we're quite different in the way we approach the world, and we're quite different in the ways in which giving, you know, comes most natural to us. So both giving is the thing to do. That's what love is about. Love is about giving. So both should be focused on giving. But when you talk about the yin and yang, you know, kind of the male-femaleness of everything and how that is kind of energizes the universe, that is a very productive and useful metaphor, but there's really nothing fundamental about it. Just like the chakras, breaking up various parts of growth and evolution of the non-physical, of the soul, and associating those with parts of the body. It's a very productive metaphor, but there's nothing fundamental about it. It's just a way of arranging and categorizing the information and attaching it to things that we feel comfortable with, and then, you know, using those attachments to help us understand something that's kind of very broad, esoteric, should we say, very abstract, and it makes it more concrete, something that we can deal with more effectively. We don't like grand abstractions. They're hard to get a hold of. We don't know how to apply them, And we like to break things into neat little compartments. It's just the way we think, we human beings. So these metaphors of the yin-yang and of chakras, and there's many others like that, they are there to help us understand something that's very abstract, but they're not fundamental. There's nothing really fundamental about either one of them. They're just ways of looking at the world. And with those two, you know, they're a productive way of looking at the world, but people tend to get wound up around them. Pretty soon they become dogma, then the dogma becomes sacred, and then we fight over them, and that's not productive at all. We need to see that they're just tools, tools that we can use to understand. So, yes, male and female do interact wonderfully with each other. They are generated, you know, to work together. They both give, they both receive, and they both will evolve and become more as they focus on that giving, giving up the ego and the fear, than if they focus on what they can get out of it.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so another thought that I've heard you talk about twice, and although I get the basic analogy, it confuses me. So if it confuses me, I'm thinking it might confuse others. I'm not sure, but that's what I think. Which is the concept of how men sort of focus outside of themselves. And we understand that. Like, I get that part. But what you said is that then their inside world, or the way they interact in relationships is more intuitive, where with women, our mental capacity is based more on family and relationships, or how relationships fit into our lives. So all relationships, not just our romantic relationships, but all relationships are more internalized, and that's where we put more of our mental thought, and our intuitive process is more on the outside world. And that's confusing to me, and so I thought I'd let you explain that more.
Okay. Basically, now this is a model, right? This is the way I'm modeling. Again, I'm not producing anything that's sacred here either. It's just a way of looking at the world that makes sense. So I break the interests that are natural to men and the interests that are natural to females into two groups, and I call one of them's the males are interested in the outside world, and the females are mostly interested in the inside world. Now, it doesn't mean that females can't be interested in the outside world. It doesn't mean that males can't be interested in the inside world. I'm just talking about kind of the proclivity, the natural tendency of those under the fat part of the curve. And what that means is that those who are average, you know, the typical, there's tails on any probability curve, and that means the people who are atypical. You know, if you have an IQ of 200, you're atypical. If you have an IQ of 50, you're atypical. If you have an IQ of what's the average, 100, 105, something like that, then you're under the fat part of the curve. So that's what I mean by the fat part of the curve. So we're talking about men and women in the sense of what's typical, what's kind of fundamental to men and women. Not that men and women can't be other things, but this is kind of what they are at the core. Now, what I mean by the outside world is all of the machinations and things that go on outside in the outside environment of stuff. Okay, the things, the jobs, the other kind of stuff that goes on. That's kind of the men's territory, where they focus their intellect on mastering that outside world. That's what's important to them. Power in the outside world, ability to master that and be able to provide, be able to find enough resources, be able to protect, his wife and his children and his tribe, that sort of thing. So he worries about the outside world. Whereas the female tends to mainly focus on what I call the inside world. And the inside world is the world of relationship, how people relate to each other. That makes her kind of the glue that holds things together as far as, say, the nuclear family is concerned. So she's concerned about, of course, her relationship to her man and to her children, but it also to friends, to neighbors, to in-laws, to, you know, outlaws, to everybody that is important in her life to her. Those are the people that, quote, belong, unquote, to her. That's her kind of inside group. And those insiders, she will work and manage to support in any way that she can. And the outsiders that aren't, you know, part of those that belong to her are kind of irrelevant. You know, they're just not that day-to-day important to her. Now, the male, on the other hand, when he looks at relationship, and we say that he approaches this intuitively, not with his intellect, well, males generally don't develop their intuition very well. So when we say males approach relationship intuitively, we're saying males kind of stumble through relationship clueless. That's pretty much the same thing. They don't really understand all of the nuances of personal relationship. Now, they understand how they relate to their boss and coworkers, but we're talking about personal relationships. You know, they understand how how there are relationships in the outside world as well, but of the personal relationships, they generally don't really work at those intellectually. They don't apply logic there. They just feel their way through them. And on the other side, the females, sure, they can interact in the larger world. They can deal with the outside environment. But that's not where they really apply their logic, their intellect. That's just kind of the outside world. It's just not that critical to them. So they use their intuition there and their feeling. They feel their way through it. They use their intellects too, but it's not as fundamental to them, as it is to the males. So these are just some very general, broad kind of characteristics in which we describe men being different than women. And they turn out to be the very same characteristics that we get in the women are from Venus, men are from Mars, you know. Men approach things differently than women. We think about things differently. Different things are important to us. So it's that basic difference between males and females that we're talking about. I'm just expressing it in a little different way, where I talk about the major focus for female is in the relationship world, and the major focus for the men is in the outside world. So I call that the outside environment and the inside environment. Does that make it any clearer?
That made it a lot clearer, actually. I guess part of what I was unclear about was the intuitive aspect, but I believe I understand a lot more understanding, but you know, the men don't use their intellects. They have to use something else when they're relating to relationships. And
yes.
I guess it's my definition of intuition, but that I was having an issue with. So no,
yeah.
I completely understand.
Yeah. Yeah. Thinking that men deal with their relationships successfully, intuitively, like they kind of just understand, you know, what's going on. No, they don't understand what's going on at all for the most part because they don't really develop their intuition. That's
right.
Not something they work on, but they deal with it, the best way they can, but they don't deal with it intellectually. They don't look at it, that's not their world. You know, it's like it's where they feel a little bit like a fish out of water. It's not the thing they do. It's not the kind of stuff they concern themselves with. So it's a little foreign to them, and they're a little uneasy with it, and they basically just stumble through it the best way they can. But it's based on feeling more. They feel their way through it. This feels good, do it. If that doesn't feel good, back away from it. Then it's that kind of thing. Whereas the ladies approach relationship, they know exactly what they're doing and what the effect they're going to have on various people and what people need their help and who could help them. And all this web of interrelationships and who's doing what to what and why, they deal with that with their intellects. They keep up with that. They know what they're doing in it. When it comes to the outside world, they're sort of like the men in the sense that they get along, you know, they do the best they can, but it's really not what they're real interested in. So they don't focus on it a whole lot. It's not the thing that drives them, that appeals to them a whole lot. So that's the difference. It's not that, neither one can't function in the other world. Of course they can. And they do. And some women are very successful in working in, working in the outside world. And some men are very successful, at the inside world, but in general, they're out on the tails of the curve. They don't fit under the fat part of the curve. So that's, I'm just talking about the, not what's possible, but what's typical.
Right. Okay, perfect. So we're going to go to our first break. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Tom Campbell. Again, Tom can be found on the web, all over the web. Definitely check out his YouTube site or his YouTube page, because he has so much information there. But he also has a forum that's on his, that you can get to from his website, mybigtoe.com, just hyphens in between, so my-big-toe.com. And you're listening on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Coming up Tuesday on New Sky Radio at 12 p.m. Eastern Time, it's Sound Effects. Explore the effects of sound on the body and environment with sound therapist Doreen Davis. Coming up at 2 p.m. Eastern, it's Radio to Thrive By with the Dr. Pat Radio Show. At 3 p.m. Eastern, join Laura Lee in the Spirit Salon. Coming up at 4 p.m. Eastern, it's the Colette Baron Reed Show. Join Colette for her fun, fast-paced show all about you. Be sure to call in early. The phones are hot. Coming up at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, explore your career options with career coach Caroline. At 6 p.m. Eastern, tap into your moment of change with Sherry Gaba and Kathleen O'Connor. Shay Parker introduces us all to today's top metaphysical specialists on Metaphysical Minds at 7 p.m. Shay, the best of the best American psychics, take to the air at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. At 9 p.m. Eastern, grab your psychic cup of coffee with Kelly Sutcliffe. Step into the enchanted world of Monty Farber at 10 p.m. Eastern. And at 11 p.m., it's the Zodiac Girls. So sexy, so cool. Tonight on New Sky Radio. For more on these shows and all New Sky Radio shows, check out newskyradio.com/show. New Sky Radio and radio.com. Powered by CBS Radio.
Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. Today we have Thomas Campbell with us. Tom can be found on the web. Just Google his name. There's so much information and so much great information to attain and to understand a lot of this. Now, this is kind of new stuff, and it's very exciting because he's kind of giving us a preview to his book, his newer book. At least he believes it will be a book. So kind of exciting because it's interesting information. And it helps us maybe see things from a different perspective that we're not really used to. And we're talking about relationships. And if you haven't listened to last month's show, which was on, I believe it was the 22nd, definitely listen to that show. It's on my site, intuitivesoul.com, under Tom's name. So listen to that show so you can understand this show a little bit better, although we are explaining it all. But so I loved how, you know, some of the things that you talked about, some I guess that are kind of in our genetics or kind of in our collective unconscious, the differences between men and women. And it really kind of explained this whole, there's two things explained. It kind of helped us understand why men have issues committing and being monogamous, although in some senses women and men had that same impulse to, women are more to procreate, but they're still also out there finding the man, but men sort of have a different a different trigger. And then, you know, it also helps me understand why, you know, we're, as women, we're always trying to be the attractive one. I remember, you know, I was on a program where, you know, I was doing a lot of walking and really trying to get in shape. And it was like in the summer, and I was walking by this gentleman who was lying on the beach in a bikini, and he'd had his, you know, 20-year-old beer belly that looked like he was probably 12 months pregnant. And I'm thinking, okay, this is why I'm doing this. So, I mean, it's interesting. So maybe talk about that a little bit more. But it's just fascinating how, you know, what you've uncovered. Or, I mean, I don't know that it's necessarily anything really new, but the way you've put it together helps us understand a little bit more.
Okay. Well, I can give you the basics of, for the men and the women, how that works. What I'm discussing here is our instincts. You know, we as humans have instincts just like any other critter has instincts. We're an animal as any other animal in that sense. You know, we're part of the phylum of, you know, vertebrates, and under that mammals and so on. So we are also just another kind of animal. We have instincts as well. And some of those instincts directly involve how we express our gender and our relationships with opposite sex. And those are the ones that I kind of focused in on. And it was like, you know, we developed these instincts over the last, you know, I don't know, million or so years. So it takes a long time to alter one's genetics, generate instincts over millions of years. Those instincts have proved to be aiding our survival and our procreation. So we as a species have benefited by developing these genetic programs, as I call them, because for us, and the level of self-awareness that we as humans have, we're kind of aware that we have, you know, what feelings and the nudges that we have, and that there are these programs somewhere running in the background of our minds that nudge us to be this way or that way, you know, nudge us to be as pretty and as attractive as we can be, or nudge us to, you know, do other sorts of things. And let's say, why do we do that? Well, there's a good reason. We do that instinctively. We have a need to do that. That's kind of what we do. You know, just like dogs have a need to bark. You know, it's what they do. That's the way their programming runs. So we tend to be like that too. And the idea is that, of course, we have free will. We're not captured by these genetic programs. We don't have to do these things that nudge us. We can make other decisions, but it's good to know what your underlying currents are. It's good to know what's pushing and pulling you various ways so that you can more intelligently deal with what it is you have to deal with in this world. And what we deal with today isn't exactly like the kind of world that humanity dealt with, you know, for the past million years. We've only had what we would consider, civilization. Take from the beginning of history on, from the first known written records forward, that's only a tiny, tiny speck in this evolutionary time that humans have been around. I mean, we were evolving for hundreds of thousands of years before we even domesticated fire. You know, we weren't hunter-gatherers then. Nobody was hunting because we couldn't even cook what we, you know, what we hunted. We're talking about a lot of evolution that's taking place to write these genetic programs that doesn't necessarily relate real well to how we live and the things we have to deal with today. So that's kind of one thing. But let's just look at it. The idea in a physical evolution like we see here is that you need to survive and you need to procreate. Those are the two criteria, whether or not you're successful, you know, evolutionarily. You have to survive, obviously. If you don't survive, you can't procreate. So the two of those are entangled, and you can express them as one criteria, and that is that you need to move your genetic material forward. In other words, you have to have your genetic material go into the human race and then move forward so that your offspring take that same genetic material and they move it forward. That's what I mean by moving your genetic material forward in the gene pool. If you do that, then you're successful at this survival and procreation. If you don't do that, if your genetic material stops cold right there and doesn't go any further, then you're not successful at the procreation and survival. So given that that's the thing that we're trying to do, is move our genetic material forward in the gene pool, then that tells us a little bit about our relationships and our instincts. So for the men, moving their genetic material forward, they have two strategies. There's two ways they can do that. One is just a numbers game, and that's basically have sex with as many physically attractive women as are available to him. Okay? Because if he can do that, then he improves his chances of having his genetic material move forward in the human race. Okay? And how do we define attractive? Well, it's basically just one criteria: good genetic and good physical health. Now, genetic health, we judge by symmetry. So if we look at someone and they are symmetric, you know, both sides of their face, you know, are look the same. You split down a center line and they're very symmetric in their features. That's what we call pretty. You know, that's what we call handsome, is the symmetry. And that's just a sign of good genetic health, that the fetus, when all the chromosomes and everything's were going together, that symmetry says that everything went together properly, the way it was supposed to. Good genetic health. And then physical health. You can just look at somebody and have a sense of whether they're, you know, physically healthy or not. So those turn out to be the criteria for attractive. Okay, so that's one way that a male can get his genetic material to spread through the species. The second way is to secure the highest quality available women to invest in. Okay? Pair bond with as many physically attractive females as possible to ensure their survival and the survival and success of their offspring. Okay? So one, he's just kind of spreading his seed wherever he can plant it. And secondly, he's going to be he's going to husband it. He's going to stay there and see that the seed, gets the best chance possible, which means he needs to ensure the survival of his female, of the mother of his children, and of the offspring to give them the most you know, the highest probability of going forward with his genetic material. Okay, so one is chancier than the other. The second one is more that he's going to see that it works. Okay, so now from the male point of view, a pair bond implies that he, because of his investment, expects her to limit her sexual activity to him. Okay, because he's going to invest in her. He's going to keep, you know, he's going to help her survive and take care of her and the offspring. And he's doing that for his own reasons. But if he's going to do that, make that investment, then he expects not to be investing in somebody else's children. He's not in the business of moving some other man's genetic material through into the human race. Okay? So, you know, he's looking for a woman who commits herself to him. Thus, that kind of strengthens this genetic value of pair bonding. Okay, so that's the way it is for the male. Those are the ways that he can best get his genetic material to go forward. Now, for the females,
we're going to have to actually take a break. Sorry, Tom. Okay. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends. With Thomas Campbell, we're talking about relationships. You want to hear the rest of this. Stay tuned with us. We'll be back. We're on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Enlighten, empower, enrich. This is CBS Radio's The New Sky. New horizons, no boundaries.
Song to say what you done. I told you about all those fears and the way they did run. You sure must be strong. And you feel like an ocean wind won by the sun. When I was just 9 years old, that I dreamt your face on a football field and a kiss that I kept under my vest. Apart from everything, with a heart in my chest, I know that things can really get rough when you go it alone. Don't go thinking you gotta be tough, but play like a spell. Could be there's nothing else in our lives so critical as this little song to say what you done. I told you about all those fears and the way they did run. You sure must be strong. And you feel like an ocean being warmed by the sun.
Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. We have Thomas Campbell here. We're talking about relationships. Tom can be found on the web just Google his name, Thomas Campbell or Tom Campbell. You can go to his website, mybigtoe.com, which is based on a series of books that he wrote called My Big Toe. There's hyphens in between, so it's my-big-toe.com. And also, he's got hours and hours of information on YouTube, as well as a forum that you can reach through his website. So take advantage of all this free information that Tom offers. We're talking about relationships. We got through the mail. We're going to briefly talk about the women and then maybe a little bit about consequences.
Okay. For the females, now, how are they going to get their genetic material forwarded through, you know, through the human race, into the gene pool as much as possible? Well, they have three strategies, where the men had two. Their first strategy is to bear the most survivable children. Okay, that means secure the highest available quality sperm, be sexually attractive as possible to men in general, and induce the one that is most attractive to have sex with her, thus optimizing survival and success of the offspring. Okay, now here we're going to define attractive a little differently. Like we did with the men, it's also, good physical and genetic health, but add to that good mental health as well, and then add a whole new category of would produce, you know, offspring with qualities that are optimal for survival and success. So she's looking for someone that would produce offspring with her, and the offspring are genetically superior, if you will. They are more survivable, stronger, hardier, more capable of going forward and carrying her genetic material, you know, forward into the future. Okay, now her second strategy is form a pair bond with and remain attractive to highly survivable, successful, and reliable men. And I said men, okay, so that they will take care of and protect both her and her children in the long term. Okay, so from the female point of view, the pair bond implies that he commits to taking care of her and her children. You know, that he thinks that she's special. He's committed to her and will put her above and ahead of other women and other women's children. Okay, so that's her second strategy. Her third is basically her numbers game, and that is have as many healthy and well-cared-for children as practical conditions allow. Now, note some of the things here that we talked about. It would be to the man's advantage if he would form a pair bond with as many physically attractive females as possible. Well, as it turns out, particularly in the time when this genetic code was written, times were very hard. Survival was a very iffy issue, and that largest number possible turned out mostly to be one. It was difficult enough just to have yourself, you know, your mate and your children survive than to do that multiple times. So one turned out to be the number of choice for that, and the same with the women. You see, with the women, it was have offspring with the best quality males around, and that wouldn't have to be just one male, and it would be good that if she had several males that would be taking care of her and her children, that would give her more taking care of, more benefits, but it turned out the same way. That was very hard to accomplish. For one, men, again, don't like or didn't want to be raising and putting resources into other people's children, other men's children. They were more concerned with their genetic material. And two, it would be very difficult for her to satisfy multiple men's needs and keep those multiple men attentive and working together for her benefit. The men would tend to fight and squabble and want to dominate and that sort of thing. So that didn't work very well. So the optimal number for her was one, two. Now, again, we're just talking under the fat part of the curve. What is typical? So the pair pond turns out pretty much to be just one pair, where theory would say that it could be many, but practical living says that one works better, at least during that time when this genetic code was being developed. So you say, over millions of years. So during that time, anyway, that would be the way it is. Now, here we are, just a kind of an eye blink, you know, from those times. Just take the last, 10,000 years. How far back do written records go? Just take the last 10,000 years. The last 10,000 years is but a blink in millions. You know, if you think of millions of years where this took place, the last time 10,000 is just a trivial amount of time. So our particular issues that we have today are just the last few seconds of this evolutionary process, if you will. And what we're running on is programs that were developed millions of years ago. Okay, some logical consequences. For the men, let's just kind of give a quick summary there. Men are attracted to or pushed by their genetic programming to have sex with any attractive female who might make herself available to him. Also, men feel responsible to protect and take care of their wives and children. They expect the pair-bonded mate to limit her sexual activity to him to protect his investment. Okay, so that's kind of a short summary there. And for the ladies, let's see, where am I here? For the ladies, a short summary would be, the females must find an attractive man, one with good reproductive potential, and a man with a good provider and protector potential. She's hardwired to be attractive, at least superficially look like a sex object, and to use that female power to secure both superior quality sperm and protection and support for herself and her children. And now it's something true for both the men and the women is once the children are gone and they're not in a reproductive mode anymore, it doesn't matter. These programs just keep on running. They don't stop just because you are, past menopause or just because, you're, 90 years old. You think, this getting your genetic material going through the whatever, that's kind of not an issue anymore because of age, but that's not the case. These programs run indefinitely. Back when these programs were written, the age of reproduction and the age, should we say, expected age of death, what's that called? The prediction of how long people lived. People only lived to be like in their 30s, maybe middle 30s. That was the lifespan. That's the word I'm looking for. So the lifespan pretty much covered. All those years in the lifespan were childbearing years. So the genetic programs don't take into account that there's a change, that you could live on past the point where moving your genetic material was an issue. All right, so that's just a very short look at the fundamentals and some of the logical things, but I'll stop now and just see if you have any questions or where you want to take that.
Okay. We don't have a lot of time before our next break, but we do have a couple minutes. So, it kind of explains some of the things that sort of happen naturally in relationships. I mean, we seem to have commitment issues, but I don't know that that's necessarily, a male thing. I think we both seem to have commitment issues, sure. But because we look at commitment in a different way, men and women, we don't identify it the same way. So our definition of commitments are different. And then there's, we like that kind of unavailable person. And I don't know if that's because, we're we're always kind of on. I don't know what it is. I know that there's been a change where we're sort of looking at, the nice guy and nice girl. We don't really want that. We want that sort of unavailable bad boy and the girl also being, not so available to them. That kind of like the chase part of it. But we do have to go to break. So why don't we go to break now and we'll sort of talk about that when we come back.
Okay.
But I do love that, the way to raising our level of consciousness has to begin within ourselves. So I don't know if we'll get a chance to do all this because this will be the shorter one, but we'll talk about that when we come back. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Thomas Campbell. We're talking about relationships. It's a fascinating topic. I have a feeling we may be talking about this more as the year goes, as we go on. We're on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone.
Life's a game. Win. Call and get advice from today's top coaches that are here to help you run a business, offer legal advice, enrich your relationships, or guide you on the right career path. Our coaches are expert professionals in their field to help you win the game of life. Listen to Coach Me Radio, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m.
Help me take my life less seriously. It's only life after all. Yeah. Well, darkness has a hunger that's insatiable. And lightness has a call that's hard to hear. And I wrap my fear around me like a blanket. I sail my ship of safety till I sank it. I'm crawling on your shores. I went to the doctor. I went to the mountains. I looked to the children. I drank from the fountains. There's more than one answer to these questions, pointing me in a crooked line. And the less I seek my source for some definitive, closer I am to find, yeah. Closer I am to find, yeah. I went to see the doctor of philosophy with a poster of Rasputin and a beer down to his knee. He never did marry or see the great movie. He graded my performance. He said he could see through me. I spent 4 years prostrate to the higher mind. Got my paper and I was free. I went to the doctor. I went to the mountains. I looked to the children. I drank from the fountains. There's more than one answer to these questions, pointing me in a crooked line. And the less I seek my source for some definitive, closer I am to find, yeah. Closer I am to find, yeah. There's more than one answer to these questions, pointing me in a crooked line. Less I seek my source for some definitives, closer I am to find. Closer I am to find. Closer I am to find.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. I have Thomas Campbell with me. Tom can be found on the web at mybigtoe.com, hyphens in between, so my-big-toe.com, or Google his name and go to his YouTube site as well as get information about his forum on his website. There is so much information that you can find out. And we're talking about relationships. If only you guys could listen during the break, because we had this fascinating conversation about commitment and how we seem to have, you know, our definitions of commitment. It is different between men and women, but I think, you know, it's fascinating that there was a study done. Maybe if you want to briefly go over that, Tom, about how what actually happens.
Yeah, I wish I could tell you the author in the book, and I looked for it in my bookshelf, but you know, it's one of those that I lent to somebody mm-hmm. and it disappeared, mm-hmm. and I don't have it. I'm going to have to try to hunt it down. But it was a lady who was very interested in feminine physiology and how hormones and other kinds of things were. You know, she'd look at they'd take blood samples and had them on a EEG or what is the thing, a CAT scan sort of thing, so they could see brain activity, and then they'd show them different kinds of pictures and talk about different kinds of things and see how the different hormones went this way and that way and how the brain activity went. So that's the kind of research that she did. And in this one study that I was telling Laurie about, she, under the guise of genetic counseling, in other words, talking to people about maybe genetic problems they might have, you know, what might be in their genes that they didn't know of, you know, maybe a disease or some kind of thing would be lurking there, a proclivity toward Alzheimer's or something, who knows. But you do genetic counseling where they take DNA and then they kind of tell you where your weak spots might be and what to watch out for and maybe what to do about it. So she did this with families, and she found families where it was, you know, husband, wife, and children. And the deal was, bring your whole family in and we'll do a free genetic counseling session for all of them and see what their issues might be. Well, that sounds good, because that's an expensive thing to have done. So she did that for a lot of families, and she was looking for a little more information in her research than what she really told these families. But one of the things that she discovered was that about 30% of the children in these families were fathered by fathers other than the lady's husband. So that then was a kind of a, that was surprising to everybody. Now, this study probably wasn't the best science, because it wasn't over tens of thousands of people. You know, it wasn't over tens of thousands of families. It was over as many as she could, you know, do, which I think was more like, you know, 50 or 100 or some, maybe, you know, something in that. I don't really remember now the details. And it wasn't necessarily statistically drawn from various parts of the, you know, of the population like they do, say, for, right. you know, doing votes, you know. They get 10% of the vote and predict what the other 90% is going to say because they are very scientific about how they collect their samples. This wasn't like this. I think it was just all the families that she could talk into, you know, doing this thing with her in her research. So it was not real high, you know, real tight science on it. But it certainly would be indicative of what's going on in probably suburban white America, which is where I think her business was. Pretty much. So that was probably, I'm guessing, the bulk of her sample. And 30% of the children were not fathered by the fathers of the family. So that shows you in this genetic engineering that the ladies do have this inclination to mate with what they find to be the highest quality sperm. And for them, this is not an intellectual process. It's what rings their bell, you know, what turns them on, what they get excited about. And that the ladies are doing that as well. And the men, of course, we know that's more obvious, right? That because it doesn't take a lot of genetic analysis to know that the men have an inclination to make love with women who are available. So,
yeah.
So it just, you know, if you see the big picture and why it is, you know, why it is that way, it's not that these women are awful women or the men are awful men. They're just following their urges and their instincts that's written in their genetic programming. But now the thing that we need to talk about is we have free will. We do have this genetic programming, and we have to realize that now, today, that can get us into trouble. What worked a million years ago isn't necessarily, you know, such a great idea today. You know, for instance, you know, young girls particularly have sometimes difficulty translating their hardwired sense of male attractiveness from cave dweller days into apartment dweller days. You know, in the cave dweller days, attributes such as being aggressive, domineering, independent, secure, physically big and strong, you know, wealth, social status, political power, and I mean that whether the political power is in the office, the home, or the community, you know, or even just simple popularity, like, you know, singers and movie stars, you know. All those things, singly or in combination, kind of rang bells for the, you know, for ladies. This is what they were looking for, because the most survivable person then was one that was most aggressive, domineering, and independent and strong. That's what you look for. So what we end up today is with young girls who, you know, fall very quickly for jerks, jocks, and, you know, abusers, basically, because they have that independent, aggressive, domineering personality, and it doesn't work that well. Those are not the people who have real personal power, but it's the kind of person that often rings these genetic programming bells. So the nice girls and the nice guys who have higher quality consciousness, they're not into manipulating others. You know, they want valuable relationships, not simply the ability to use another person to satisfy their needs. So consequently, you have nice guys with real personal power in our contemporary culture. They're often seen by younger females who are lost in their genetic programming as potential friends, but not potential lovers or mates. Likewise, nice girls often find out that the not-so-nice girls have a large competitive advantage in attracting the males of their choice because young males, lost in their genetic programming, seem unable to tell the difference. You see? So there's lots of things that we just, that if we were aware of, we could do better. But because we're not aware of, we just kind of follow our instincts, follow those bells ring, and, you know, we react. Whether it's a male finding an available woman who's not his wife, or it's a female finding the man of her dreams or that rings her bells and it's not her husband, we tend to go with it because that's our genetic programming. It's the way we are, but we have free will. We can realize that this genetic programming was very survivable. You know, it kept us going as a species for those millions of years of very, very hard times, but it's also has its drawbacks, you know, today. Yeah. And if we understand that, then it helps us deal with life ourselves and the other people we have relationships with. We can kind of understand a bigger picture.
Right. Well, wow. Again, fascinating topic. Unfortunately, we're coming to an end. Yeah, we're going to have another show. So you're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends. I have Tom Campbell. Please check him out on the web. Find out more information about him. And we'll be back next month on April the 26th. So next Friday, the April the 26th, we will do our next show. It may be about relationships. We may be following this theme for a little while. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.